Okay, today's reading is going to be Luke chapter 14, verses 1 to 6. So I'll give you a minute to get your Bibles and get that open. So that's Luke chapter 14, verses 1 to 6. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. There in front of him was a man suffering from abnormal swelling of his body. Jesus asked the Pharisees and experts in the law, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. So taking hold of the man, he healed him and sent him on his way. Then he asked them, "If one of you has a child or an ox that falls into a well on the Sabbath day, will you not immediately pull it out?" And they had nothing to say. Now I'm going to hand over to Mike, who will explain the passage for us.
Thank you so much, Josh. And a while back, I bumped into a friend I hadn't seen since university, and we arranged to have lunch, and we spent lunch just sort of catching up on our lives. And he told me about how he had taken his severely disabled daughter along to his local church. He was hoping to find help. And after a few weeks, the church asked him and his wife to stop coming with their daughter. Apparently, the noises that she made were disturbing people. Can you imagine how that made my friend feel? Can you imagine the conclusions he drew about these people, about their God? And I wonder if you've had a similar experience. Perhaps you've been hurt by religious people who've made you feel small or ashamed or stupid or unwelcome. The hypocrisy and the heartlessness and the self-righteousness, it puts you off the whole God thing. And I totally get that. But I tell you, one of the reasons I stick with Jesus is because when it comes to hypocrisy and heartlessness and self-righteousness, Jesus hates them even more than we do. He sees how the religious leaders of his day had been hurting people, and he calls them out. So back in chapter 11 of Luke's gospel, he lays into them. He says, "You clean the outside of the cup, but inside you're full of greed and wickedness." So you polish up well on the outside. You look respectable, but on the inside, you're something else. You're something wicked. You're hypocrites. Or he says, "You say you are experts on the laws of God, but all you do is you make up rules to crush people." And he calls them out. He calls them out because he has not come to bring the sort of religion that weighs us down and makes us feel small and grubby and unwelcome. He has come to bring something totally different. And that's because he is totally different. And that's what we'll see in these two chapters of Luke's gospel that we're going to be unpacking in the next few weeks. It's what we start to see in today's amazing little episode that Oshin read for us. Have a look at verse 1. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. The religious bigwigs, the very people he's been having a go at, have invited him to dinner. House of a prominent Pharisee. And we think, well, what are they up to? What are they doing? Inviting him over to dinner. Well, notice it's one Sabbath, and that's a clue. That's a clue about what they're up to. Sabbath. Just a quick recap. What was Sabbath all about? Well, the first century was very much like the 21st century. Everyone worked 24/7 except for God's people. They were different. One day a week, the Jewish people rested. And that Sabbath day was a reminder that there's more to life than work. There is God. And God had told them to spend that day, that Sabbath day, enjoying him and enjoying his people and doing the sort of things that refresh and restore, not just reading books and going for walks in the country, but helping those in need, looking after those who are sick and suffering. Today, God had given us a blessing to his people. But the religious leaders, they had turned a blessing into a burden. They had complicated it with all kinds of rules and regulations. They had sucked the joy out of it. And so Jesus makes a point. He makes a point of healing people on the Sabbath, just to show them how wrong they were. And they told him again and again not to heal on the Sabbath, but he wouldn't listen. And it really wound them up. Who did he think he was, this young man with no respect for authority? He just seems to want to overthrow the traditions of our religion, they thought. And what was worrying for them was he was getting a following. And the Pharisees and the religious leaders, they feared that their position in the system, their status as the people everyone looked up to, was under threat. We read back in chapter 11 that they are looking for a chance to catch Jesus out, looking for a chance to expose him as a dangerous revolutionary who should be arrested. So they invite him over on this Sabbath day, and we read they are watching him carefully. Their eyes are on him. Someone put it to me in an email this week. He said it looks like at this dinner, Jesus is very much on the menu. That's right. And they're just about to tuck into the soup when suddenly, verse 2, there in front of him was a man suffering from abnormal swelling of his body. This sick man in front of Jesus, swollen, suffering. Where did he come from? What's he doing at this posh dinner party? He should be at home in bed. Oh, he's all part of their plan to catch Jesus out. So they invite Jesus over on this Sabbath day. They wheel out this poor guy to see what Jesus will do. Will he dare to defy us yet again? We read in verse 3, Jesus asked, literally it's Jesus replied. In other words, he gets that by putting this man in front of him, they are asking him a question. They are saying, what are you going to do, Jesus? And Jesus replied, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? But they remained silent. I love that. These are the experts in the law, but they can't answer Jesus's question. Because if they say, yes, it is lawful to heal on the Sabbath, then what is their problem with Jesus healing on Sabbath? If they say, no, it's not lawful, it shows how heartless they are. This bloke is in obvious pain. Jesus can heal him, but their rules say he can't. They wanted to expose Jesus as a dangerous revolutionary, but you see how he exposes them as heartless hypocrites, more interested in power than they are in people. Because they enjoy their position at the center of the system. They love that they get to tell people how to live. They love the way people look up to them. They don't care about this man. All they care is about is their status. And they don't want it challenged. So they remain silent. But Jesus, taking hold of the man, healed him and sent him on his way. Beautiful, isn't it? They use him as a pawn in their power games. Jesus holds him, hugs him, because he's not a pawn. He's a person. He's precious in God's sight. And Jesus wants this man to know that. So he holds him and he heals him. He heals him. Of course he does, because that's what he's been doing all along. He's been forgiving sin and binding up broken hearts and opening the eyes of the blind and healing the sick and setting captives free. He has come to restore broken lives, to remake a broken world. But the religious bigwigs, they don't get it. They don't get it. They're watching carefully, but the irony is they don't see. They don't see what's going on. Jesus going round healing on the Sabbath. They don't get it. The Sabbath is the day when God's people looked back to creation, but it was also the day on which God's people looked forward to when God would come again and heal his creation. Because the Bible says sin has broken our world. And the prophets promise that one day the God who made it would come again and fix it. He would remake it. And again in his clashes with the authorities, Jesus says, "Don't you see who I am? Don't you get it?" See, he's healing on the Sabbath because he is the one the prophets promised. He is the one the Sabbath looks forward to. He's the one the Sabbath is all about. He is God come to heal our broken world and give us rest. But they don't see it. It's like many people today, they don't want to see it. They look at Jesus and all they see is a threat to their way of life. And so they find ways of getting rid of him. And Jesus can see the steam coming out of their ears because he's healed this man. So Jesus says, verse 5, then he asked them, if one of you has a child or an ox that falls into a well on the Sabbath day, will you not immediately pull it out? If your child is in trouble, your ox even is in trouble, you would act to save them, wouldn't you? Even on a Sabbath. Yeah. And again, verse 6, they had nothing to say. See, if they say, yes, we would save our child, we would save our ox. Do you see what they're admitting? What they're admitting is it's okay when it's one of our own, but not a stranger, not this man. This man means nothing to us. We don't care about him. Do you see how Jesus has exposed what they are like? They're more interested in power than people. And if they are interested in people, they're only interested in their own people. I think we meet Pharisees like this in the church, people who make us feel unwelcome. But I think we meet Pharisees like this online as well. Marilyn Robinson, who is a wonderful American writer, she says, our woke culture is a culture of Puritans and prigs. In other words, our culture is a culture of people who assume they are right and everyone else is wrong. You cross a line, you use the wrong words, you ask a question, and they come down on you like a ton of bricks. So our culture rightly speaks up for the voiceless and the vulnerable. And you say, what about the unborn? Are they not voiceless and vulnerable? And the woke world turns on you and accuses you of misogyny. Think of J.K. Rowling speaking into the transgender debate, asking honest questions about what it means to be a woman. And the voices that claim to be all about tolerance and compassion hurl abuse at her. Do you see, it's not just these Pharisees in Jesus' day. It's the human heart. It's us. It's what sin does. We love being at the center of the system. And the way it works is that in order to show that I am in, I've got to shut you out. In order to feel right, I've got to declare that you are wrong. In order to feel big, I've got to make you feel small. And we have felt the sharp edge of that, not just in the church, but at school, and at work, and at the swimming club, when the family get together. There's always someone who needs to feel big by making others feel small. And that's sin. That's sin all over. That's why we hurt and get hurt. And it's what Jesus has come to heal us of. Friends, I think the danger is we look at Pharisees and we think, yeah, that's religion for you. That's what God is like. No, no, look at the Pharisees and you see what human beings are like. You see how they have twisted God's ways, misrepresented God. If you want to know what God is like, look at the Pharisees. Look at Jesus. Because when you're looking at Jesus, you're not just looking at another human being. You're looking at the one who is God. Want to know what God is like? Look at him. Look at him. And what you see is that the God of the Bible is full of compassion. He's not like everyone else. They don't care, but he does. You see it in how Jesus treats people. There's a lovely phrase back in Luke 7, verse 13. Jesus sees a woman grieving, and Luke says of Jesus, his heart went out to her. That's what he's like. His heart goes out to us. You see it here in this episode. They are heartless, but Jesus's heart goes out to the man. He holds him and he heals him. Look at how he treats people. And then step back and look at the very fact that he came for us. How in the face of our sin-torn world, he doesn't just sit back on the throne of the universe. His heart goes out to us. And so he came. He stepped into a world that is hurting because he cares. I remember as we read this episode in Luke chapter 14, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. And he knows when he gets there, he's going to be killed on a cross. And that cross is the measure of how much he cares. Prepared to give up his status and die like a criminal so we could be declared innocent. Give up his comfort and be wounded so we could be healed. In the ancient world, the gods were basically big versions of human beings. They were all about power and status and making yourself big by making others small. So a God who came to lay down his life for his people, a God who's prepared to die in shame, a God who cared, that was totally new. People couldn't get their heads around it. It was so different from any other system they were used to. But that is what we see in Jesus. So different from any other system. What does Jesus say? Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Burdened by everyone else coming down on you like a ton of bricks. And I will give you rest. He says, I will give you all that Sabbath is about. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You catch that? Everyone else is about power and status. And the one who really does have power and who really does have status. The Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, says he is gentle and humble in heart. That's what he's like. And that's what we see of Jesus in the pages of the Bible. And friends, what we see of him then is true of him today. The Jesus we see in the pages of Scripture is the one who sits on the throne of the universe today. If you turn to him today, you say, how will he deal with me? Well, look at this episode. See what he is like. Just spend a bit of time taking this in. It seems to me that the danger is we muddle Jesus up with how everyone else treats us, and we think he's going to be like everyone else. So you're exhausted. And everyone else just tells you to get a grip. But not Jesus. His heart goes out to you. Or you've messed up and everyone else just furious at you. Turn to Jesus. His heart goes out to you. He's not like everyone else. Or they make you feel like you don't belong. You're not welcome, but not Jesus. Just over the page, you see again how the religious people, they just don't get why Jesus is hanging out with sinners and all the sorts of people they have ruled out and written off. And that's because he's not like them. They only care for their own. But Jesus, his heart goes out to all people. His heart goes out to you. Do you know that? Perhaps when you turn to him, you're just expecting an earful, a wagging finger, a roll of the eyes, a frown. Think of the thing you are frightened to admit to anyone else. You fear they will come down on you. Go to him, admit it to Jesus, because he's not like everyone else. He didn't come to crush you. He came to be crushed for you. His heart goes out to you. He won't flatten you. He will hold you, and he will heal you, and he will raise you up to life. It might be you say, well, hold on. It's not as simple as that, is it? Because I'm thinking of some of the things Jesus says. I'm thinking of his teaching. I'm thinking of the life he calls us to. The things he says we should do with our money and our time. I'm thinking of his sexual ethics. And what he says feels like it will crush me. No. Made up morality. Human rules and human systems will always crush us. But this is the God who made us. And he's calling us to live in line with how we are made to live. And the reason he says that the burden he puts on us is light is because the life he calls us to is the life we were made for. See, the danger is we think, oh, he calls us to obey him because he's like everyone else. He just wants control. He just wants power. No, look at what he's like. He loves us. And he calls us to obey him, to go his way, because he cares for us. Because he knows that when we go our own way, it destroys us. Go his way. It's the way of healing. The way of life. It's the way to flourish. Luke says at the start of his gospel, he says he's writing because he wants us to be certain of the truth of Jesus. And we wobble, don't we? We're really going to keep going with Jesus? Really going to keep following him? Perhaps you've started for the first time at university. You think, really? Am I going to keep going with Jesus? especially when we experience the kind of the Pharisees in the church that hurt us like this, the hypocrites, really keep going with Jesus? We'll look again at what he is like. See again how he is not like them. He is full of compassion. His heart goes out to you. Do you know that? Do you know that? And as we close, remember my friend who was asked to stop coming to church. We're so used to churches reflecting the ways of the world, but what would it be like for us as a church to reflect the ways of our King? Remember the Pharisees, they cared more about power than about people. And our King hates that. He cares more about people than about power. So what would it be like to reflect that? Let me try one example. We're in a season in which we are having to reinvent so many things about our life together. And people in leadership in all kinds of ways are asking lots of people to help in lots of different ways, lots of different areas. And we will need to be very careful about how we do that. An elder might ask someone to serve in a particular way, or a small group leader might say, look, we're all going out on Wednesday night to serve at the shelter for the homeless. And it's really important that people being asked to help know that they're free to say no, that they don't feel under pressure to please the people who are asking them. They don't feel anyone will think less of them for saying no. It might be you're asking someone to serve, to help in some way, and as you do, they well up. And the Pharisee would be frustrated. I just wanted someone to help me get my project done. See, they don't care about the person in front of them. But Jesus does. So if we're going to reflect him, it might mean in the moment they well up, in the moment they say, no, I can't help, you take the time to find out why. And instead of recruiting them to help you, you need to start to help them. Give them the time and support they need. Serve them, because that's what our King is like. And you remember, if they do care about people at all, the Pharisees, they care about their own. They care about people like them. And our King hates that. His heart goes out to everyone. And again, in this season of supporting each other through hard times, the danger is we just love the people like us. So in your small group, all the people talk about is how hard it is at the moment with young children. What about the person who doesn't have young children and would love to? Or all we talk about is the pressure we're under at work. What about the person who's lost their job? It's not that we can't talk about these things, but do you see how easily our love turns in on people like us and makes others feel shut out and unwelcome, and so they're not sure about coming back next week? And it's bigger than that. As we think about caring for people hit by COVID and lockdown, our King calls us to care beyond our church, to look at the streets, more people sleeping rough than ever. Have you heard about how domestic abuse is rocketing? How food banks can't keep up with the need? Look at our King. Marvel at what he is like, full of compassion, a heart that goes out to all. And then let's pray for his help to be more like him. And we pray it not for our sakes, but we pray it for the honor of his name. Amen.
Mike, thank you so much. And someone says, thank you for that wonderful picture of Jesus. And I think we'd all want to be saying amen and amen to those words just said and sung together. Given that, it's a question from a member of Junior Church here, wanting to know why the Pharisees hate Jesus so much.
Yeah, that's a brilliant question. Of course, not all the Pharisees do, as in there are Pharisees who become followers of Jesus. But what we see in the Pharisees is something we see in our own hearts, is we don't like to admit we're wrong and that we need Jesus's help. And that's where they feel so threatened by him. They say, we're fine. We don't need you. And Jesus says, no, you do need me, because you need me to forgive you and to restore you and to heal you. None of us like admitting weakness. I think that's why it's really hard sometimes to admit our need of Jesus. We like to make out we're strong.
Thanks. And can you give us just a headline on this question? It says, should we stand up publicly for the voiceless and for unpopular topics, even when it's not popular, and we know it will result in an angry response, even from the church?
Headline answer?
Yes, please. Yes. Great. Yes.